Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom.
That's freedom!
855-450-3733. Coming up tonight, we have, I guess it would be a world premiere.
A world premiere. That's right. It is a world premiere, technically.
We have the latest track from the Kick-Ass Parody Project. That is your project.
It is. I make funny.
Wear the Face Diaper. That's the name of the song.
It is. It's a parody.
That's going to be on the way tonight, so you can stay tuned for that. But first, some good news. You know, it's rare that we get good news, especially these days.
Fact.
And I saw this. Some people were passing this around today, and it is a video, and we finally figured out where it came from. It actually came from a New York gym in Buffalo, New York, and or nearby Buffalo, apparently Orchard Park. What happened was, apparently the health inspector bureaucrat showed up at this gym with two sheriff's department agents, armed men, and was trying to do whatever kind of intimidation tactic, you know, she was trying to do on them because COVID and all kinds of arbitrary rules are, of course, being inflicted upon these poor gyms, just people trying to let people come work out.
Right. Yeah, let's go after the healthy people, shall we?
Right. Yeah, they've been shutting down gyms. And of course, in Australia, we recently heard they were prohibiting people from even walking. You can't even go for a walk now in South Australia. Yeah, South Australia, prohibited. You can't take your dog for a walk. Not allowed. So gyms have been targeted specifically in a lot of these states. Of course, we reported on the New Jersey gym, where a different gym, where a couple of the owners there, they were pushing back against the COVID crackdowns that were going on. They opened their gym despite whatever demands the state was making against
them. Are these the guys that tore down the boarded up?
Yeah. So the state came in there and the state forced their a change of their locks on the doors, trying to keep them out of their own gym. And ultimately, they somehow broke in, regardless, to their own gym. And the state came back. And so what they did was they took the doors off the front of the gym, not the state, but the gym owners.
Right.
So we're just going to open up the gym 24/7. It's going to be open at all times. So the state came and put up plywood over top of the open doors, basically. Right. So the guys, then they arrested the guys for contempt of court. After they got out of jail for that, they then went immediately back to their premises for the gym, and they kicked the, just booted the plywood right in, broke it down, and then they started moving. At some point, they started moving the equipment out into the parking lot. So people were doing outdoor
workouts. Everybody,
just the level of dedication from those guys was really inspirational, and I, you know, wish we could see more businesses pushing back against these government mandates, refusing to obey.
Individuals, too.
Yeah, refusing to obey. And apparently, there's another gym. This one is in New York. Here's a two-minute-long cut of what is a longer version. I think it's at least 5 minutes, the uncut version, but I presume these are the highlights of what happened when a group of government bureaucrats showed up at, according to the Buffalo News, this is the Athletes Unleashed Gym in Orchard Park, Erie County in New York. So without any further ado, here's what happened.
People actually work for their money, and they don't want to lose their livelihood. I've lost friends, I've lost family who've killed themselves. I've seen clients die because they've lost their livelihood.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know you are, and I'm just I'm asking for you to guys have some compassion for the people that have lost everything.
Now, just to give you some clue of what's going on here, you've got two sheriff's office. They got, you know, flak jackets on or whatever. The woman that you're going to hear speaking, all of them, of course, the government agents are in masks. This woman is with the health department. She's backed up by these sheriff's offices. There's multiple people that are in the gym. So customers, maybe some owners, maybe some employees, and they are going to let these bureaucrats have it.
We do have compassion for people who
okay, well, you need to go have compassion out in the parking lot. This is private property.
This is
private property. This is private property.
Yes, it is.
It's private property. Go get a warrant.
Listen,
man, this is private property. They're not wanted here. So do your jobs.
Well, her job is...
Your job is to remove people that are not wanted here. We're wanted here. Department. They're not.
She's hiding her name tag. She had her
name
tag.
I'm not. It's right here.
So the sheriff asks, the sheriff's deputy asks, do you have a health department permit? And they just ignore him. and keep telling them to go away.
They're just doing their job.
There we go.
You should all be wearing masks. How come you don't have masks on?
Don't worry about my health. My health isn't your concern.
You're meant to be wearing a mask. It's a government.
Okay, well, then write me up.
It's the law.
Okay, then take me to jail.
It's not the law.
Then take me to jail.
Show me the law. Show me the law, please. Show me the law.
Now, this really is nice.
I'm digging the reaction so far.
Yeah, I really love this. Doesn't matter what this cop says to these people about, it's the law. You're supposed to be wearing a mask. Blah, blah, blah. These people just don't care. And they're like, go away.
Well, I think we got to go down.
You have to leave. You guys have to leave.
Right now, you're trespassing without a warrant.
You need to leave. We're not trespassing.
You're trespassing.
It doesn't matter. We have a right to be here.
Then get a warrant. Go get a warrant.
Go get a warrant.
Yes, you do.
Come back with a warrant or leave.
You don't write the law.
No, go on your phone outside. Go on your phone outside.
The poor bureaucrat would really like it if people would stop shouting at her. She hasn't done anything
except trespassed on private property, being told to.
And remember, the reason she's there is to threaten these people.
Of course.
That's why she's got armed men who have accompanied her to this particular location.
Who reported it?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's anonymous, right? It's anonymous.
It
can't be anonymous. You need to know your accuser. You need to know.
They're right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, supposedly you have a right to confront your accuser.
Yes.
And yet she's saying, "Oh well, it's anonymous, but it's a legitimate complaint." Well,
how do you know?
No, legitimate means legal, and this shouldn't be legal for people to just anonymously snitch out their neighbors.
If I call McDonald's and tell them the Big Mac sucks, is that a legitimate complaint?
Well, I mean, it's not illegitimate per se.
Well, if I do it anonymously.
Yeah, well, McDonald's isn't the government. You don't have a right to know.
It's a poor analogy,
you know,
I admit.
Who's going to McDonald's? It's their business.
You gotta go get a warrant.
You don't violate the Constitution.
Okay, Meth, you need to leave.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now, this is the one time I support chanting, okay? Normally, I'm against chanting. Okay?
Yeah, chants have kind of, they're old. They've seen their day.
I find chants to be mindless, generally, you know, when you're at a protest or something like that and people start chanting, I usually just, like, face palm it and roll my eyes because it's just people saying things that some other person is saying, and it's just so.
But
in this case, there's a real purpose. You know, when you're chanting at a protest, it doesn't mean anything. No one's listening. No one, if any, you know, bureaucrat or politician hears you chanting, it's not like that's going to change their mind or anything like that. But in this case, a bunch of angry people shouting at bureaucrats to leave their property, fully legitimate in that case. And they are leaving. There might have been three sheriff's agents. There's at least two. I see a third man back there kind of backing her up as well.
Yeah, so first of all, the female, the bureaucrat here, would never have the balls to just show up at this place on her own.
Oh, yeah.
Right, with a piece of paper going, I'm code enforcement.
Right. You know, here's my badge.
Yeah, so she's got to show up with a couple of armed thugs.
Yep.
Right, and then we know that because they're state armed thugs, well, they never travel alone. So they are a gang. They operate as a gang. They never go anywhere solo.
So there's a part two, which is basically there's more of the rest of them exiting the building.
This is a Black Lives Matter protest.
You guys got to go to the road. You got to go to the road.
We will not comply. We will not comply. We will not comply.
Yeah. Yeah, those are.
Nice.
I love it.
This is a protest, guys.
We
do not have to disband. It is a protest.
This is what needs to happen. This needs to happen more often. This needs to happen every day.
I have a cold heart, but it's warm now.
To these bureaucrats. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. Yeah. Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Bitcoin price continues to be excellent at about 18,500 or somewhere in that range.
What was the all-time high, 21?
No, it just depends on the exchange that you look at. So I think some people say it's like 19,500. Others say it may be like 20,000. So somewhere in that range. Basically, if it gets above 20,000, pretty much at the all-time high.
I mean, I'm rooting for it the whole way. If I were a spectator and this were a sport, I would be its biggest fan.
Yeah, and something else I'm a fan of is what's going on in New York. We'll continue with that story coming up here in just a moment with people at a gym pushing back and refusing to allow bureaucrats to enter the premises.
Ethereum hit 500 too today.
That's good news. Yeah. Get on over to Bitcoin.com. If you want to learn more about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, you'll get the basics over there. Just click on Get Started at the top of the page over at Bitcoin.com. If you're not new to Bitcoin, you want to get the latest headlines, get on over to news.bitcoin.com. They'll give them to you there. Once again, that's news.bitcoin.com. Let's go to the phones to your phone calls and thoughts. Jerome is on the line to start things out here tonight on the live Saturday show. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Captain Kickass.
Yeah, speaking of Democrats, Democrats, where's that bureaucrat in the White House leaving? Huh? How many more people does he need to infect?
What, now, Biden?
His oldest brat has got it. You know, the big mouth one with the peach fuzz.
I don't know. I don't pay any attention to that man's kids. I couldn't tell you how many kids he has. Don't care.
Yes, you know how many kids he has.
No, I don't.
You can always count on Jerome to call in with the soap opera update.
Why do you think I actually care about these people, Jerome? I don't. I really pay zero attention to these idiots.
Do you know how many baby mamas he's got? He's got three so far.
See, I really don't care. I don't care who the Hollywood people are marrying either.
Do you know of anybody else? Do you know any other individual, Jerome, that you know this much about?
His black friend, Ben Carson, caught it too. You know, his black doctor, he said it was an okay doctor. He caught it too. He had to come up with his own remedy, though. I guess he couldn't get 25 doctors like Trump had. Huh.
So what did you call about tonight, Jerome? Just to, you know, gloat over somebody catching COVID?
He likes to give us the soap opera update.
Man, I'm not gloating. I'm taking this serious. I'm not gloating. I'm not. This is nothing to gloat about. This is not. It's not funny to me. It's sad that, you know, he's allowing this to happen. He's out playing golf.
When you say allowing this to happen, what do you mean? What's he going to do? Well, if he doesn't play golf, what's he going to do instead? Give a speech?
Look.
What's he going to do?
He's checked out, but he won't leave the White House.
He's checked out? What do you mean, checked out?
He doesn't care anymore. Oh, he never cared, really. He cares even less now than he did then. You know, when he's telling people to take bleach. Hey, is this son going to take bleach?
Hey, Jerome.
I think it was a joke.
Jerome, if you're so obsessed about, you know, somebody, the wrong type of person having the power of the chair, and by the chair I mean the White House, the presidency in this particular instance, then don't you think that the chair is the actual problem?
Mm. Weren't you just talking about bureaucrats and how much you loathe them?
Oh, yes.
You hate them?
No, I don't say I hate. I wouldn't say I hate them. I pity them.
You like them, right?
I pity them. Poor bureaucrats.
You like Sally Field. They like me, right?
Huh?
Come on. You remember when Charlotte Field got an award one time and she got up and said, oh, they like
you? Oh, that, yeah. No, I definitely don't care if bureaucrats like me or not. I'm not trying to curry favor with those people. I find them to be a parasitic class, whether they be Democrats or Republicans.
And they should be treated as such.
Yeah, absolutely, which is why these people in Erie County at the gym decided to throw these scum-sucking bureaucrats out of their gym. What do you think about that, Jerome?
Look, people are trying to save folks' lives. If they want themselves to die sooner, it's not
completely ignoring anything you've even said.
Where people want to die.
Yeah. Jerome doesn't have conversations.
No, he doesn't.
He comes across that he's friendly. You know, he has a good time. He's got a good sense of humor.
Goes, well, look.
Yeah.
And then follows it up with something completely unrelated to anything you said.
Yeah.
They're trying to do it. They're trying to help people. They're trying to keep people alive. And they just want to ignore it. It's stupid, man.
What good is being alive if you can't take a risk and have a good time?
Man, I'm not taking that risk, man. I'm not doing that. Sorry.
The risk of what? Contracting a disease from which most people, 99.9%+ of them, survive? I mean, really? You're worried about that?
It's up to how many million people have been infected with this thing now.
So what? How many millions of people have had the cold?
Look, you got people in the White House who are protected 24 hours a day getting it. Okay.
Okay. So why bother?
Yeah, so obviously everything that's been done isn't working, and there's no more reason to continue with it.
Yeah. Why bother with all the protections and all the hoop jumping? Why not just live your life?
You know what I heard this week?
What?
He's caused 130 Secret Service agents to be infected with the virus.
Good. Maybe they won't come back.
He's walking around coughing on people.
How careless can you be?
I hope they don't ever come back to that job. Let's have the whole Secret Service disappear tomorrow. What do you think about that?
You know, I'm going to have to sit down and talk to you and get your attitude adjusted.
Wait, you're not sitting down right now? Are you standing up?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
He's on his knees praying to the government.
I
his God.
You know, I'm going to have a long talk with you one day.
But how long do we need? I mean, we talk to you every week.
Yeah, it's and also, you're just looking to talk at him, not with him.
Yeah, what are you going to try to convince me of? I want to know.
It's not working. Look, I got to come up. I got to talk to a psychiatrist, and we got to come up with a plan for you.
All right, Jerome, you come up to New Hampshire. We'll meet face to face. You can't wear a mask, though, and then you can talk.
Oh, that might not be a pretty sight.
I'll buy you a beer, though.
Oh, I don't drink.
Okay, I'll buy you a beer, and then I'll drink it.
Okay, I'll take a diet soda. All
right. Fair enough, Joe. Right. We'll look forward to seeing you someday. Thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. That's a serious offer, though. I mean, if Jerome wants to come on up, he's welcome to reach out.
I seriously would buy him a beer.
I would totally. I would love to. Hey, you know, if we're actually sitting with Jerome, maybe we could get him to answer a question. You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
I think it would be. I think if you can actually sit in front of somebody,
I think it would be fun, though.
And you can make eye contact with that person. Yeah. And you're not on like a time limited basis like we are here, right? Like we can't have Jerome on for the whole show. We've got other people we want to get on the air and get their thoughts on the air, etc. So, you know, we can make some points, he can make some points, and if there's no connections, that's okay. It's entertaining. But when you're actually sitting down with another human being and you can actually look them in the eye and you can ask them a question, if they dodge it, you can look them in the eye again and say, "Wait, you know, you didn't answer my question. I'd really like to know what you think about this." Yeah. You can put them on the spot in a way that's not like being on national radio where the pressure isn't the same. So I would do it. I'd be happy to meet Jerome for lunch or something.
We'll
like
see
that,
what happens
Here in Keene. So toll-free number here is 855-450 free like freedom, but I don't think he's ready to leave his house. You know, he seems a little on the scared
he's
side.
He's not even ready to have an actual conversation. So
no, we're going to continue here. Patrick is on the line in Farmington, New Mexico. Patrick, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Patrick.
You know, the mascot of the Democrats is a donkey, and every time Jerome gets on, he shows his donkey.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to say, but if you've got something more creative, we'll bring you on here.
Mascot.
Something else you want to say, Patrick, we'll give you a second chance for that. All right, 855-450-FREE. You know, calling names, that doesn't really build any bridges or help anything out. 855-450 free like freedom. You can join us here. And he dropped off the line. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin breaks 16,000 as Congress is poised to pump even more unbacked dollars into the market. John McAfee pumps Ghost, his crypto token, from prison. Threats from the SEC ignored. New Wyoming Congresswoman is a Bitcoin holder. Law enforcement moves long dormant Silk Road Bitcoin billion. Trump and Biden tied over who stinks more for crypto. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. All you have to do is dial in toll free and join us. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have our call-in lines on the Matrix. chat server. You can go to chat. Yeah, chat.lrn.fm. Get the instructions on how to get connected there. And so head on over there to chat.lrn.fm. It's a pretty cool little service, and it's free. Also, want to say thanks to Jason Howcroft, who is a Free Talk Live Silver Amplifier. That means that Jason contributes $5 a month to the AMP program, and that is a way for you to help us get on more radio stations.
Thank you, Jason.
Mm-hmm, and help new people find the ideas of liberty. So if that's worth $5 a month to you, the price of a fancy cup of coffee or a expensive cheeseburger, then help us out. Go to amp.freetalklive.com, just like Jason has done, and sign up for AMP. Again, it's only about $5 a month, and you can do it with PayPal, credit card, debit card, or Bitcoin BTC at amp.freetalklive.com. You get some cool perks, some benefits if you do that, and it helps us as well. That's amp.freetalklive.com. Back to your phone calls and thoughts. Jay is in South Carolina listening, I think. Are you in Columbia, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to WQXL FM. Go ahead.
All right, my friends, how y'all doing? I was just listening to not the last caller, but the caller before that. He was talking about President Trump's son caught the coronavirus, whatever. But I wanted to say one thing I liked about President Trump is that, you know, he made his money in the private sector, and you know, he gave, as I understand it, his whole salary away. I would like to see more politicians do that. I mean, all the politicians, you know, locked down here, locked down there, but their salaries and their benefits continue to roll in. So if we're all in this together, if we're all Americans, shouldn't there be a moratorium on their salaries?
Well, and they keep voting themselves like raises and more benefits while everybody else is, you know, going the opposite way. So, I think it should be a completely voluntary position in all ways, shapes, and forms, including pay.
You know, they've almost got that here in New Hampshire, where the state representatives make about, he just hung up, but thank you for the call.
Yeah.
They make $100 a year.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's almost free. That's virtually volunteer.
It's like, why do they even give them $100 at this point, right?
I mean, they do, to be fair, they do have a gas stipend as well. So it's not just $100. They'll get a little bit extra because the ones that like live 2 hours away get a little bit more than the ones that live a half hour away. So it's based on the number of miles that they drive. But still, it isn't a whole lot of money that these guys are getting paid. And there's 400 of the state reps. So not any one of them has any particularly large amount of power that is aggregated to them. And that tends to make it so, as disgusting as government is in the process of passing a law, you know, they say you don't want to watch that happen. It's like making a sausage or whatever. It's pretty ugly. that ultimately... It's a good thing because it keeps sort of the professional attorneys out, because a lot of politicians in other places, they're attorneys. And they are – so basically you have the attorneys writing the laws that then other attorneys then use in court, right, to either prosecute or defend. And so they're making new business for themselves essentially.
Well, and to the caller's point, this doesn't get enough attention by, we'll say, the people. I don't have a better word for it. The fact that people go into politics and you know what their annual salary is, 50 grand, 100 grand, couple hundred grand, whatever, depending on what they are, that's all public information. Yet a whole bunch of these people come out on the other side of this when it's time to retire or no longer be in their positions of power with far more wealth than they could have ever accumulated just on their salaries.
Yeah.
Now, where is this wealth coming from?
Special favors.
Well, this is really geared towards the listeners.
Oh, sorry.
I'm asking the listeners to ask themselves where all this money is coming from for these politicians who only make, you know, a couple hundred grand a year, or, you know, 500 grand a year, whatever it is, depending on their level. That's the question you need to ask yourself. Now, go on that mission and try and figure out why and how many of these politicians do that. And I think it will open your eyes.
Yeah, indeed. And we're going to go to more of your calls and thoughts. You can bring up what you want here. Let's talk to Robert in Myrtle Beach, listening to WRNN. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, I have a question about crypto. I own a bunch of crypto. I've been buying for about 4 years.
Oh, wow, right on.
Over the past 7 days, I've made more on XRP and VeChain than I make in my permanent job right now. It's way up there now.
Wow.
And my question is to you guys. I know institutional investors and Wall Street, they're getting involved with it now. It's going up. Do you think the is it going to be a big hedge against the Biden administration if the dollar continues to depreciate? And if this so-called global reset, financial reset, takes place next year under Biden's watch, how do you feel about that? You think it's a good hedge against crypto? That's what a lot of people are insinuating right now.
Hedge against inflation. Yes. Hedge against crypto.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Captain.
I was going to say that there is nothing but positive to say about the technology behind cryptocurrencies. Now, you have to be careful in selecting your cryptocurrencies and find one that
you don't know what's going to win.
Yeah, you don't know which one's going to win. So you want to do what's called dollar cost averaging. So over the course of time, like you've done over the last 4 years, you know, invest, over the course of time and in multiple currencies as well. Spread it out a little bit because you don't know which one's going to win. But the outlook, the outlook is great for cryptocurrency. And I will say this because it is still early days. Bitcoin is still the next Bitcoin, right? As far as cryptocurrencies are concerned, it's still a pretty safe bet that that thing, even though it's really high right now, it's only going to go higher as the dollar gets lower in value.
That seems like an obvious thing. I mean, I don't like to go out on a limb and make predictions about the future, but, man, it's hard to feel like anything but that could happen. I mean, especially with the federal government gang printing out trillions and, incrementing numbers in computer systems to inflate the money supply as they did earlier this year, and they are likely to do again as soon as they can come to some sort of political agreement where all the Democrats and Republicans agree to scratch each other's backs and support all their favorite corporations with another bailout. Because they're begging at the trough right now.
Going to keep that CARES Act going, except it's going to have more fat in it.
Yeah, so I think that it's not an unsafe prediction to say odds are good that as the government continues to print money out, the cryptocurrency and, mind you, gold and silver and precious metals are likely going to go up over time. Now, what we've seen happening this year is that crypto has gone up much faster than gold, and that is sort of what was expected. And when I say crypto, I mean Bitcoin specifically. The rest of them, right now, they're kind of suffering. Now, maybe that's not true for XRP. I haven't been following. Oh, yeah, you're right. XRP's
up. XRP bumped.
Holy crap.
A bunch of the alts bumped today. Yeah.
Really?
A bunch of the alts bumped today. So, it could be alt season. We don't know. Could be rabbit season, duck season, alt season. I don't know.
They're up and down. I mean, you never know. I mean, I've never sold one crypto. I've been buying for 3 years. I've not sold one.
Good.
I plan on holding for a long time just to hold them,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worried about capital gains tax, too, especially under Biden. We don't know what he's going to do.
Here's what you do. Sell it off the books. Sell it off the books. Don't tell the government about it. That's all you got to do.
Exactly. If you go through Coinbase, kind of different.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's on the books.
Yeah, there's other ways around that. Keep doing your research and figure some of that out, and you'll it'll come around.
Yeah. Hey, Robert.
Move to Puerto Rico. There's no capital gains tax in Puerto Rico.
There you go. That's an option.
Now you're thinking.
Hey, anything else you want to share, Robert?
Now, that was it. I know that Trump, he appointed Brian Brooks, who was the head attorney at Coinbase. He's the controller of the currency right now, and he's really pro-crypto. I've noticed that with crypto banks and such. He wants to appoint him for 5 more years for that position if that's approved through the Senate soon. So that would be good.
Well, and I mean, he may be pro-crypto, but his other guy, what is he, Mnuchin, I guess he is anti-crypto. So, I mean, you're not going to find any real fans of crypto in the government.
The good news here is that crypto doesn't care. It didn't ask anybody for permission to exist, and it's never going to start to do so.
That's true. Whatever the government's response is, crypto will continue. It can't be stopped. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call. Glad to hear it's working out for you, man. Thanks for sharing that with us. I always love to hear success stories.
Happy for that guy.
Yep. And that's all you got. Like you said, the dollar cost averaging. I mean, I'm not an investment advisor. I can't give advice, but that's what I would do.
I've kind of been doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Buy a little bit here, a little bit there, as often as you can afford to put in something you can afford to lose. Keep that in mind as well. There's more coming up here as well. You can join us. This is the Live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. Talk Live. You may dial in toll free here and take control of the airwaves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Really glad to hear about the alt season maybe coming into to play here. As you were mentioning, Captain Kickass, I had not seen this yet. And yeah, checking out...
Good news, everybody.
Yeah, checking out CoinGecko.com, the what they call altcoins, that is to say, every other cryptocurrency besides the original Bitcoin, they all do seem to be up today. I mean, I'm rolling through the top 100 here.
Oh, I didn't look at regular BCH, whatever that's called now.
It's up.
Is it?
Okay, yeah, cool. Bitcoin Cash is up. $310 is what the price of a Bitcoin Cash is.
Did that fork ever do anything for anybody?
Not much. No? It did happen, but it didn't do much worth speaking of. However, Bitcoin Cash and Dash are still just bottom of the barrel as far as their Bitcoin-related price. So the cash price is up a bit, which isn't it's a good thing. Compared to Bitcoin, Bitcoin's still really killing them.
Well, and it's actually a good sign to see that different currencies are following different patterns. Because at first, if Bitcoin went up, all the other alts went up almost, to the same exact degree. Right,
yeah,
as
a
far
lot
as
of
percentage
the time.
Would go. So now that the market is, we'll say, starting, you know, it's in the inkling the tiniest bit of maturing right now, you can start to see separation in each of the markets, which is good because a lot of folks have put a lot of time in these alt currencies into making them different from Bitcoin in one way, shape, or form, taking on their own personalities, their own features and traits. So it's really nice to see that the market is beginning to mature and different coins having specific value for their features going up or down depending on, you know, what they're being used for.
Also, the total market cap, that is to say the value in U.S. dollars of all of the cryptocurrencies, at least that are cataloged on CoinGecko.com, which is a nice site that shows you like the top 5,000 or 5,900, I think they have here. But the total market cap is over $500 billion. So over half a trillion dollars. Now that's not the record high. I think it was at like 750 trillion back in 2017, but man, it's getting there. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We're going to state prison in Michigan where Art is on the line, and I believe Parnell there in Jackson.
That's correct. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump. You know, he used the swamp to try to drain the swamp.
Oh yeah. When's that going to happen?
I supported him at first because he was a disruptor, and I know there's a lot of corruption that needs to be exposed. But it was really interesting to see that, you know, he talked clearly about the swamp before he, you know, got elected, and that's why I believe why a lot of people put him in there. And then, of course, he used the swamp trying to drain the swamp and then became part of the swamp.
Yeah.
Once he started talking about law and order, I knew at that point he was sold out to the swamp. And once he did that, he started to become a tyrant. We've already got enough of those tyrants in there already. We don't need any more.
And you won't get any disagreement from me. I mean,
the only thing that I would ask you to ask yourself is, do you really think that he was, you know, legitimately trying to drain the swamp
in the first place?
Because these politicians will say anything to elected and do anything to stay in.
People really wanted to believe, though, that he was different. They wanted to believe that he wasn't your typical politician. And I don't think he was your typical politician. I think that much is true about him. But I also think you got a good question there, Captain. Did he really intend to do anything differently, or was it just a sales pitch? What do you think?
Well, I think he became a politician. He started out as a businessman, and then, of course, he became a politician. That's why he used a lot of that's why he did a lot of the stuff that he did, only really more important than anything to get reelected, because it was more important to him than anything else than his original goals.
Well, see, I think you're missing a step. Yes, he was a businessman. Then he became an actor. Then he became a politician.
Okay.
No, that's important. That's important because whenever you see these politicians, particularly presidents, right, heads of state, you know, whatever they call them, prime ministers or whatever their title is, king, overlord, whatever, they always have teleprompters, right? And if they're not well-read and they're not well-coached, they're not going to be a head of state because they need to be an actor.
Okay. Anything else?
That's interesting. Yeah. That's a good point that I never really looked at that perspective, but... But either way, like I said, we still have a swamp out there that needs to be drained. There's a lot of corruption going on in this country, and unfortunately, puppet Biden is not the answer.
There is no answer to draining the swamp. I mean, how could you possibly do anything to the swamp in D.C.? I think the best bet that you're going to find is to ignore them and to leave, to have a state government declare secession and... declare independence and walk away from this swamp. We are under no obligation to be caught in this swamp. in this quagmire, and you know, to be stuck in that with these people. We're under no obligation to their debts that they've created. They're not in my name. I did not ask for their debts. I did not ask for their spending. I didn't ask for their wars. I didn't ask for their bombs. I didn't ask for their war on drugs or any of their other regulating businesses or any other crap. They are mask mandates or whatever, lockdowns, all this crap they're shoving down our throats. If we just said to these people, you can go pound sand. You can have Washington, D.C. I want nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. If enough people did that, essentially what the people at the gym in New York that we played the beginning part of the show, if people just shouted down these scumbags, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, and ignored them and stopped sending them money, and better still, take our last caller's advice and start taking their money, the greenbacks, and put them into something like cryptocurrency or gold, and get it out of their system, get it out of their hands, stop them from being able to manipulate your value.
Stop financing the swamp.
Yeah, those are things that could actually do something, but there's no way to drain the swamp. It's impossible to affect anything in Washington, D.C., and no amount of voting is going to get your way out of it either. Art, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. Let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We've got Eric in Erie, Pennsylvania. Eric, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, we shouldn't have to wear masks in our cars. We shouldn't have to wear masks in our house.
Don't.
It's bullshit.
LRN.FM. I agree with that dude. We should not have to wear a mask, period.
And it is BS, which is what he said. We just can't put that on the air. I'm sorry. I wish we could. I appreciate his passion. I get it. And if they're telling you to do those things, just don't do it. Just don't do it.
You know, it's
demand
it's,
the trial if they give you a ticket.
It's to a point that I wrote a song.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, you did. I have that song, but I've got also full phone, so we'll have to get to it.
Let's take some calls.
We'll have to get to it later. Let's talk first to Terry. He's in Ocean Shores, Washington, listening to KBKW in Aberdeen. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I got a couple of things. First, a comment. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more videos on pushback starting tomorrow.
Why?
With churches from here on the left coast.
Okay. What happened?
Well, you know, here in Washington, you know, they forced us to take, you know, two steps backwards and go to 25% occupancy in churches and that kind of thing. Same with Oregon.
Right.
And there are a lot of Bible-based churches here, a whole network of them, that just are not willing to take those steps backwards after finally bringing congregations back together and being able to worship together.
Mm. Well, they never should have split their congregation up in the first place, you know? And there were some churches. Right. There were some churches that didn't obey. And
that's true.
Those,
there were.
Those people deserve a lot of credit for sticking with their religious beliefs over this religious belief in the state that so many other people have.
Absolutely. And I think you're going to see a lot more pushback on that basis now. I mean, the first time, okay, you know, let's kind of, you know, we didn't know that much about the virus. We didn't, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So let's be safe and make sure that we protect our congregations and that kind of thing. You know, and I was dead set against it. My father's a pastor of a church, and I pushed back on him, you know, ridiculously for what the requirements are and the fact that the church just went Facebook Live for a period of time.
Mm, that's sad.
You know? So I think you're going to start seeing a lot more pushback.
I hope so.
You know, on a basis starting tomorrow.
Well, feel free to let us know if anything, you know, noteworthy happens. If the cops show up and start causing trouble, or
if
whatever.
A bunch of churches get together to somehow defy all this crap.
But I actually went to the first church service I have been to in memorable like history. I don't remember the last time I went to a church service voluntarily since I was maybe a teenager, young teenager or something. But I actually went here in Keene to Hope Chapel because they were going to have a service in defiance of the government's orders here, and they had a great service. I really enjoyed the heck out of it. The pastor there, Joe Mabe, is a particularly libertarian guy, and it was like the most libertarian pro-freedom sermon I had ever heard. I put the full video of it on freekeen.com. So you want to see a really killer pro-freedom church service from the midst of all this stuff, go check out search freekeen.com for Hope Chapel. Thanks, Terry, for the call tonight, man. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. We got hour number two on the way. Plenty of time for your calls and thoughts. You can join us here on the radio. This is Free Talk Live's Live Saturday Show.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yeah, it is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up whatever's on your mind.
How did he know?
That it's Free Talk Live?
That voice, yeah. Just, I don't know where Free Talk Live.
He is Zeus. Zeus knows. I mean, it's Zeus.
Zeus. He is a god.
Yeah. So you can join us here, 855-450-FREE. You can bring up whatever you want. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. We've already talked about, we had somebody call in about cryptocurrency. Apparently, a lot of the altcoins are up today, which is really great news for people who've been holding on to those. And but the biggest news to me isn't whatever the hell's going on in Washington, D.C. with some dumb politicians. I don't care. What I do care about is people refusing to obey dumb politicians and thugs. Yeah. Thugs from the health inspector's department, thugs from the sheriff's department. And that's what happened in the Buffalo, New York area recently, where some gym members, because there was at least half a dozen people that were shouting these cops out of the building. So, I mean, they weren't all owners of the gym, right? Like, there were some people there that were just there working out, and they said, get out of here. We
it
don't want
really
you here.
Really warmed my heart to see that whole thing.
We don't want your service. Go away. You're not serving us. You're serving your masters, whoever they are, but it's not us. So get out of here. And the it was quite a video. We'll post that video, by the way, on our social media. I haven't put it up there yet, but I will do it at some point tonight. If you aren't following Free Talk Live on social media, here's how you do it. We are still on Twitter for now over at twitter.freetalklive.com. But I'd prefer if you followed us on, say, our Telegram channel at telegram.freetalklive.com, or we have a Mastodon as well over at toot.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. Sam, listening in Maryland. Out of Delaware is WILM in Wilmington. Go ahead, Sam. Sam? In Elkton, Maryland? Going once. Sam going twice.
Shammy.
We'll put Sam back on hold. Maybe there are some technical difficulties there. Meanwhile, let's try Robert in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and the Captain.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to share something quickly before asked a question, because I was listening to some of the callers that call in, and that's kind of important to me. And I want to share with them the next time that they get a chance, go to the National Registry of Exonerations, and you'll find out exactly how our government is stealing money from us. And then also go to YouTube and type in Dorothy Rabinowitz biography, and that'll show people how they're getting all of this money.
Well, I mean, I know how they're getting money. They threaten people with violence, and they get them to do what they want.
Right, but the video will show, it'll show how all of this is done.
Okay.
She'll explain all of this. For those that don't know who Dorothy Rabinowitz is, she's a investigative reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist.
Mm.
But I wanted to get on, because I heard some of the folks saying you guys were talking about the virus and stuff like that. And you know, I'm thinking that we're all immune to this. I mean, if you've ever swam in a river, like I have a river out in back of my house. Mm-hmm. There's a river over in Keene. I mean, there's rivers all over the place. And in within those rivers, there's all kinds of chemicals, you know, urine, feces, you know, and we swim in all of that. I mean, George Carlin, okay, when he lived in Brooklyn as a kid, he swam in a Hudson River.
Oh, gross.
Did you drink water straight out of the hose too, Rob?
No, I don't know, but my point is that all of those people survived.
Sure.
So why wouldn't our system be immune to this virus?
I wouldn't go so far as to claim that everyone is immune to the virus. I mean, obviously there are people out there who have gotten sick, and there are some people who have passed away. But the super majority of people survived this thing, and I mean the super, super majority of them. And your point is well taken, Robert, and that is the idea that the human body is, as fragile as it can be, also relatively resilient, given all the dangerous, you know, deadly things that get thrown at it on a relatively regular basis. The immune system's a pretty amazing thing, and not protecting yourself from every little thing that can go wrong is actually, some people would argue, is actually a good thing. You know, allowing your immune system to actually work and to fight things off keeps you strong, essentially.
Yep.
You know, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, they say. Thank you, Robert, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
To Robert's point about, you know, immunity and that kind of a thing, I find it very disturbing that not one politician has mentioned anything about how to fortify your immune system, how to mm-hmm. take in the appropriate amount of nutrients and what kind and that kind of a thing. Like, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, people think the government is your doctor, too, right? Mm. They're giving you all this medical advice, right? Fauci, or Fauci, mm-hmm. whatever the hell his name is, right? Giving all this medical advice. But when did the government become responsible for your health and well-being?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why everybody just goes, oh, suddenly the government's responsible for my health. No, they aren't. You're responsible for your own health.
Yeah, I don't know, Captain, because it just seemed to come out of nowhere. People's response to all of this was a real, you know, it took me by surprise. I mean, I know people are obedient.
It took me by surprise, too. But looking back on it, it started with the mass shootings, right? The mass shootings is what sort of gave rise to these lockdowns, right? Or the idea that people would accept them. Whenever there was a mass shooting, the city or town that it happened in would go into lockdown.
Ah.
And people started getting desensitized to the word lockdown. That's, mm-hmm. you know, my experience anyway is telling me that this is what I saw through my eyes. And then all of a sudden, when this supposed, you know, health threat of this virus came to town, all of a sudden everybody was in lockdown. Everybody went, oh, lockdown, right? Like they've been
doing.
Oh,
yeah, we know how to do that.
Oh, yeah, we know what lockdowns are.
Been institutionalized.
Exactly. Or propagandized, or you know, insert your word here for the brainwashing, but that's essentially what happened.
Yeah, and I think it all ultimately comes back to what's been going on for many decades, generations, which is acclimating people to the idea of not just a lockdown, but the idea that authority is a thing. That authority is something that you should believe in, that these people with their fancy suits and their fancy hats and their fancy cars or whatever it is, you know, all their accoutrements and their associates and the cops, and that, you know, because they are in these positions, which I didn't choose to put them in, by the way, but
me
because
neither.
They're in these positions, somebody voted somewhere, and now all of a sudden these are our betters, that these people somehow should be respected or looked to, even though at the same time people carry sort of conflicting beliefs about politicians. And I saw this in action today in Concord. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention this at the beginning of the show, but I went to one of these Stop the Steal rallies. Stop as in stop the steal as in stealing the election.
As in Biden stole the election and the Trumpsters are trying to get it back?
That's what they think is
Sorry,
going
I
on.
Meant to say Trumpansie is my bad.
And so you can see an example of this sort of dual mindset or this conflicting set of beliefs that people have, where on one hand, people do believe that politicians are dishonest. Like most people would readily agree
to that.
But not
their politician, but the one they like.
That, I think, is definitely a hole in that particular belief set. But, you know, even they know, they still know at some level that politicians are dishonest. They do know that. And when I got up on stage and I spoke today, I spoke about New Hampshire declaring independence from the United States.
Nice.
And I did not get booed off the stage. And I made a point that, look, I'm going to say some things here that are, you know, not what you're looking to hear from me. I'm not up here to candy coat anything or, you know, make you think that I'm totally on your side or whatever.
Yeah, the truth hurts people.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, even if you guys, quote, stop the steal and Trump is elected again, right? Like, 'cause that's what they want. They want the courts to make the decision that all these voting results are bunk and that it was actually Trump that won in Pennsylvania or won in Georgia or wherever it is they're being challenged. Yeah. And so even if it comes true, their belief that Trump is the true victor, then you're not going to stop the stealing because government continues to steal from people.
Yes.
They couldn't deny that government is evil. They couldn't deny that government is stealing from people. That's what it does. And that it wouldn't matter whether it's Trump or whether it's Bush or whether it's Barack Obama or whoever happens to be in the presidency. Even if Trump wanted to stop these things, and he doesn't, he couldn't.
Right.
Okay? So get real. Nothing is going to change in D.C. if Trump continues. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. All you have to do is dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We were just talking in the last hour with a caller about the good news about some of the altcoins out there.
Indeed. In fact,
almost all of them have gone up in price today. So that's great to hear, including Divi, by the way, up over 30% in the last 24 hours. Now, that's not to say it's like a really expensive thing. I think it's like 4 cents right now for four point something. For a Divi. But you can go and learn more about Divi. It is another cryptocurrency that, in this case, is designed by some libertarian guys that we met at Anarchapulco. They signed on with Free Talk Live over a year ago, and we've had good experience with Divi. I think we picked it up at less than a cent per Divi over a year ago. So it's been,
nice.
It's been a good year. You can go to DiviProject.org. Obviously, your mileage may vary. You can't predict what's going to happen in the future. But if you want to get in on, Divi, you can do that over at DiviProject.org. You can order it on multiple exchanges or buy it directly from the Divi team. And if you ever wanted to get into what they call masternodes, which is a special node on the Divi network and other networks that have masternodes as well, but Divi makes it easy to do. You can run a masternode and actually earn Divi for providing services to the network. So head over to DiviProject.org, DiviProject.org. You can connect directly into their Telegram chat room there and get your questions answered if you can't find them on diviproject.org. We go back to your calls and thoughts. Tom in Hudson, New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Good evening. It's about the difficulty. I've heard that police departments are finding it more and more difficult to recruit new goons to go out there and intimidate everybody into obeying unjust laws.
Yes, they are. And they've been having a difficult time for the last, I would say, several years. It's probably worse now than it's ever been. But, yeah, that's true.
Now, there's a growing awareness. Now, people are rejecting the absurdity that it's only a few bad apples due to growing awareness that they all chose to enlist in the police forces of a hostile government, an organized force on a mission to essentially to levy war against the human race, a mission to intimidate people. They say to deter people from breaking the laws.
Yeah.
Intimidate them into complying with a multitude of blatantly unjust laws. So they are all enemy officers.
Yeah, coercion.
And the reason for that growing public awareness is because you got these guys, these libertarian guys in Keene, New Hampshire, that run this talk show, and it's syndicated all across the country there.
Well, I heard about those guys.
They help bring up this public awareness that cops are the goons, they are essentially mercenaries employed by the state, and that the employment contract between a government and its goons cannot entitle the latter to violate the unalienable rights of non-signatory third parties. And one of the reasons that that show is so successful is you got this guy in Hudson, New Hampshire, that keeps calling up and helps to educate the public about just how evil and wicked the cops.
Yes, we couldn't have done it without you, Tom. Thank you for the call. Toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And that's another, to go back to that issue with authoritarian beliefs that people have, that on one hand they think the politicians are bad people, but yet they still keep believing in them for whatever reason. They think, oh, well, the other politicians are worse, so we got to go with our politicians.
Battered voter syndrome. This time it'll be different.
Right. That's totally what it is. And another example of this is the way these right-wing folks treat the police. So on one hand, they are acknowledging that it is the police who are going around enforcing these mask mandates that they disagree with, right? So they're very against the masks at this protest that I went to today. It wasn't per se an anti-mask event, but there was a lot of anti-mask talk that went on, right? And I'm on board with that, right? I do not wear a mask. I'm not interested in wearing a mask. I'm not going to do what these goons tell me to do. But yet they still support the police. So they have on one hand the belief that, and the understanding that the police are the ones that are essentially the tip of the spear. They're the ones that are enforcing the governor's mask mandates and things like that. Yeah. And they're threatening local business owners now. Multiple businesses here in New Hampshire have received $500 fines within the last couple of weeks from the attorney general's office. So they know that it's the police that are going around doing this, but yet they still, I had one lady that I was speaking with today, just after the sort of the rally was over, people kind of talk afterwards for a bit. And she was talking about how the cops in this one town are patriots, and so therefore we shouldn't expect any trouble if Chris Sununu, the governor, goes to that town. Well, I won't say why we were talking about this, but there's going to be a protest at the governor's house tomorrow, and there are sort of contingency plans in case he goes elsewhere. Right. So the one of the towns he might be retreating to if he's not at his house tomorrow, the lady was saying that, well, the cops there are patriots, so you won't have anything to worry about from them. And it's like, I don't buy that. I don't think that the cops are going to just not do their job because they're, quote, patriots and, what, like, leave the governor out in the cold? Their top dog, their commander, basically?
Well, wait, you touched on something. So there's the potential that he's going to run from the protest?
I suspect that he won't even be there
at all. Because, I mean, I ordered a truckload of tar and another truckload of feathers. I sure hope it gets delivered to the right place.
Yeah, so
I didn't order anything.
No, but there are going to be people there, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
To the caller's point, and I like to point this out to people who use that, I don't know what you'd call it, the adage. Mm-hmm. It's the rotten apple. Well, no, you got to use the full thing. It's one rotten apple that spoils the bunch. Spoils the bunch. That means the whole bunch is spoiled.
They're rotten. Yeah. So there's this constant, like, conflicting belief systems that these people have, and you know, it's bad. I don't know the best way to break it down except little by little. That's why I got up on stage and said the things that I said today, just to try to throw something back at them that they can maybe listen to and think about. Yeah. You know, I opened up my speech with and I didn't go there intending to speak, but they came around with like a sign up sheet. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll talk about secession, I'll talk about independence. That's why I went to that. I didn't go there to stop the steal. I don't care. Right. It doesn't matter to me who wins the election, but I went there because I know that these people, even though they believe they want to win, right, like they want their team to come out on top, Trump to win, etc., etc., they must know in the back of their minds there's a chance that he won't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that's the case, then they're going to be open to new ideas like secession. So that was the reason why I went there. And I opened up by saying that I am suing the governor. So after all this anti-mask talk and talking trash about the governor, rightfully so. I mean, there was a lot of that stuff. I pointed out, hey, I'm actually suing this guy. So I got a big, you know, round of applause for that. And so that's how I started off. And then I went into, hey, look, this whole America thing, it's a failure.
Well, it's always good to plant seeds like that, particularly when you have an audience that might be open to, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah. Well, yes. We tried everything and it didn't work. What do we do now?
And that's all it was. It was just, the idea was to just plant some seeds. And, you know, I didn't get booed. So I didn't get a whole lot of applause after that, but, you know, people were making eye contact.
Good to have you in. Here's a freedom treat.
Oh, thanks. But people were, you know, they were making eye contact. They were paying attention. So that's important. And I think that's – and by the way, just to be clear, I've also gone to BLM events.
Oh,
I went to the BLM in Manchester, and I handed out the same secession flyer there that I handed out at the Trump event today.
Interesting that they left the ING off of Stop the Steal.
Yeah.
Like only this particular steel.
Every other steel, fine.
Yeah, but this particular one for some reason.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us here. Take control of the airwaves. A little bit more on the pushback that some sheriff's agents and a bureaucrat from the health department got at a gym recently. We'll tell you about it.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
This is Free Talk Live, and you're invited if you want to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Coming up still, we got the world premiere of Captain Kickass's latest musical effort.
It's the Kickass Parody Project.
Released as of, what, today? Today the release date?
Yes, released today. So sometimes, sometimes artists will do this thing where they go, hey, I'm going to release a thing 6 months from now. And you're like, well, is it done? And they're like, yes, it's completely done and ready. Then
why not now?
Why aren't you putting it out now? Like, because we're going to release it in six. And it gives them time to do all this like preparation and marketing and all that kind of stuff. I'm a small-time parody artist. I don't have, you know, this kind of... Plus, the topic is timely.
It's timely. You got
to
get it out there.
So I actually kind of felt a bunch of pressure to get this thing out because, well, it's now.
That's coming up later tonight. It's called Wear the Face Diaper, and it is a parody of... Is it the Beatles?
It is, yeah.
All right, so we're going to get into that coming up here in a little bit.
I went straight for the classics.
Let's go first, though, to your phone calls and thoughts. John is in Kansas listening to KINA in Salina. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I was wanting to find out who is actually running the puppet. If you take a good look at Joe Biden, he looks a lot like Walter.
Walter?
Yeah.
Walter who?
Jeff Dunham.
Oh,
yeah, he does.
Of like the ventriloquist guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy. He does look not exactly, but pretty close.
Yeah, he does.
That's right. Hilarious.
And another thing that I wanted to put out there, a lot of people bad talk police. They trash them. If you remember the word pig, I've heard it mentioned here lately, too.
What do you mean?
And this here is for the police to take note of. Take pride in the word.
Why?
If you figure it out, it's pride, integrity, and guts, because it takes a lot of all three for somebody to be a police officer nowadays.
Well, I don't see a whole lot of integrity out there. I mean, I see a bunch of cops threatening peaceful people over victimless crimes. Don't you see that, too?
Not where I'm at.
Really? I don't think you're paying attention. When's the last time you went to a district court arraignment?
I haven't been to a court arraignment since I was last on a jury. That's been a few years back.
That's not the same thing. Being on a jury, you won't get to see district court. Juries, you're not going to see the dozens of cases that go in front of a judge every single week, and even in smaller towns. These are generally victimless criminals, people who've never harmed another person, but they got caught with an open container of alcohol or a little bit of marijuana, or, you know, a teenager with a cigarette, or, you know, a can of beer or something like that. And it's just thousands and thousands of dollars that these people are extracting from usually the poorest of the population, because they usually won't raid the rich people's, you know, college parties or whatever. They're only going after the poor people. So, I mean, there's no end to the number of peaceful people that these people are putting behind bars and getting putting in debt to tremendous numbers of hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And all of this goes unsung. Most people, like you're saying, John, you don't even know this is happening there. And now it's harder than ever to even get into a courthouse. You probably can't just go sit in and watch an arraignment.
You can't go to online
because
court,
of COVID.
You can, but you can't take cell phones.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't even take.
I don't know what happened to you there, John, but you kind of cut off. But what he sounded like he was saying was you can't bring a cell phone into court. And that is true in a lot of places. New Hampshire, you can bring a cell phone in here in New Hampshire. So it's one of the nice things. You can actually get a little bit done if you're sitting in the courtroom. They just don't want you to have the volume turned up on the cell phone. So as long as you don't have the ringer on and it's not making a bunch of noise.
They won't even let you have a pocket knife.
Oh, well, yeah, you generally can't get in to a courthouse with knives. But, I mean, I do agree you should be able to have a knife.
Why? What are they afraid of?
In court. At least here in New Hampshire, you can actually check the knife or a gun at the court, at the security checkpoint. So you won't get arrested for bringing it into the court, but you can check it here in New Hampshire. I don't think you can do that in all states.
Nope, they make you take it back out to your vehicle.
Ah, yeah, that figures. Well, hey, John, look, I get why people who don't really know what's going on fully with the police want to believe the best about them. I think that there are some good people who became cops. I wouldn't say that just because you become a cop, you're a bad person. I wouldn't say that. But I will say that there are a lot of bad cops out there, and very few of the good cops will do anything about them.
Well, around here, there's a lot of good cops.
Yeah,
I've even seen police officers that seen somebody broke down on the side of the road in town, pull over and help them.
I have seen that happen too, and
I've seen regular citizens do that, but we don't hold regular citizens in high regard because of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, you can find examples of police doing good things. It is not unheard of for that to happen, but if that same cop that just helped somebody change a tire on the side of the road then proceeds to go and arrest peaceful people, I'm not going to say that that person is doing a good thing. Well, and they do that all the time, John.
And I'll say it again, and I've said it repeatedly. I feel like I keep saying it, but if the police as an organization are so tightly knit as a brotherhood and all that kind of thing, and they are genuinely concerned about this sort of, you know, bad light that they've come under, you know, from recent news and all that kind of thing, they can do something about it.
Sure.
Here's what they can do. They can stop enforcing victimless crimes. All they have to do is everybody get together and go, we're no longer enforcing victimless crimes. They will immediately look way better.
I would
everybody.
Sing their praises, man. I would be on the air like, my God, what has happened? This is amazing. Right. I mean, sing it from the highest mountaintop.
And all that kind of thing.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, Captain, they could join what was known as Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Yeah.
It has changed names. It is now Law Enforcement Action Partnership. So it's still LEAP. Just they changed what it stands for. And the reason isn't that they're against in favor of prohibition. They're also still against prohibition, but they're also against police militarization. So these are some of them active duty cops. Most of them are retired, though.
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't want to go out on that limb while they were still collecting the paycheck. Because,
they're on the gravy train.
It's kind of cowardly. But that's just I'm still glad that they went in the right direction eventually. So, John, thank you for the call. Feel free to call in any other time. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. There's just people have blinders on when it comes to the police. The fans of the police, they believe the fairy tale that the cops are out there only doing good.
We won't be secure.
Yeah, only going after the bad guys. And no, that's not true. I'm telling you, if you can go and watch a district court hearing, just go or get the docket. and look on the district court hearing docket in your area and see if you can even get it. Most of them won't even give it to you, but you might have to physically go down there and get a copy of it or something. But and just look and roll through the pages and pages and pages, and you tell me how many of the 100 cases or whatever they've got are actual cases of violence. How many domestic abuse cases, right? That maybe that somebody was violent in that case.
Right.
How many, you know, robberies?
Yeah.
Very rare.
Property damage or personal, you know, somebody's been hurt.
Rare. It's very rare. And I'm telling you, I've sat in countless arraignments. Yeah. I've sat through a ton of these things. I basically have been a court activist to some extent for a very long time. I've recorded a lot of footage in courtrooms, and I've seen these people abusing average folks over nothing.
Yeah.
And you know what it does? It ruins people's lives.
Everybody just has this false idea, this belief. That's exactly what it is a belief. It's a belief without evidence that somehow having the department called police means you're protected.
Mm-mm.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Tell that to all the people who've called the cops and had them never show up. Tell them they're protected. Or tell them they're protected when the cops do show up and blast their dog in the face with a shotgun.
Or go look at the Innocence Project. Tell me about those people who've been in prison for 25, 40 years.
On false evidence.
On false evidence, yeah.
And then finally, years later, dozens of years later, they might have a chance to get out. Yeah. We're talking about hundreds of people, by the way, that have been released after the fact, vindicated for crimes they did.
Thanks to the Innocence Project.
Because some cop or some prosecutor lied about them just to put them in a prison cell. It's sick.
Get their numbers up.
It's sick. 855-450, free like freedom. You can join us here on Free Talk Live. And that's what you get with Monopoly. It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited if you want to join us here on the radio. Our toll-free number, it's 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. It's Ian here.
And the captain.
And I want you to know about liberty.menu. So there's this protest going on tomorrow outside of the governor's house in New Hampshire. First time that's ever happened, from what I can tell, at least in the 15 or so years that, you know, I've been here.
I'm so disappointed that I didn't build the mock guillotine.
I know. That's okay. Maybe next time.
Perhaps next.
There may be a next time. In fact, there may be multiple next times. So, liberty.menu. The reason I bring that up is because somebody made a Facebook event for this governor protest tomorrow at his house. And guess what? Facebook took it down.
Oh, did they?
Surprise, surprise.
Wait, what side of the coin is the governor? Is he Dem or Rep?
He happens to be a Republican, but he's pro-mask. He's pro-crackdown. He's pro-COVID restriction. So Facebook took down the event. And I told those guys, I told them before they put this event up, I said, you know, what you ought to do is go to liberty.menu, create the event on liberty.menu, then post the link to the liberty.menu event on Facebook and whatever other Mayway and Parler whatever other centralized systems there are out there competing with Facebook. That way, if they take the post down, you know, if they delete your post that you make about it, they haven't deleted the event itself.
Right.
So all the key information of where and when and who's going and all that, that's all still there. So actually, after the Facebook one got taken down, they took my advice and one of them actually did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they actually did go to liberty.menu and made an event there. And liberty.menu is run by a libertarian.
Yep.
It's run by a Free Stater, a guy that moved here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. He lives in Manchester. Great guy. A great site. It's a great looking site. It's easy to use. And it's not run by the big mega corporations.
Well, it's weird how people think that Facebook is the internet.
Well, in some places, it's true. In some places, like in Africa, Facebook is the only app or the only internet site that certain phones can access. So essentially what's going on is Facebook has paid or whatever to be the exclusive provider for these different phone companies or whatever.
What?
They've got like a special plan, essentially, where you get the cheapest plan that you can possibly get, and you get internet, but it's actually Facebook only.
Wow.
So you can't do anything else besides
use
Facebook.
Zuckerberg Big Brother special.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. But check out liberty.menu. It's not just for events, it's for businesses. So if you want people to let you, you know, to Indeed. Let people know where you are, what business you're in, and you know, get maybe buy your product, you might be able to get some new customers out of it. And it's free to use. So again, it's liberty.menu. We're going to try one more time here with Sam. I think he might actually be on the line with us now. Sam, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
We have you now. Sam. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, good. I have a compliment and a comment, but I wanted to say I started listening to you guys. It's for your new listeners. In 2015, I got a smart speaker. And when I first listened to you, I agreed with about 10 or 20% of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And now I'm up to 75%.
All right.
I converted to right-winger AM all-day listener, just to let you know.
Right on. What's some of the stuff you don't agree with still, the other 25%?
We had a discussion about 2 years ago about who's going to fill the potholes, me and the Amish guys, and who's going to pay for the light. So we're not up to that point, but you're up to 75%.
Well, did you miss the story where Domino's was going to pay for the potholes?
Oh, I didn't know that one. No, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, no, Domino's actually went to different cities around the country. They got reports from their customers, their drivers, that they had crappy roads, and they picked like the top 10 cities or whatever, and they gave a bunch of money to the Parks and Recs department or whatever, the Public Works department to fix some of the potholes. And I think that they actually went and did they hired like a contractor or something and did it themselves because they made a promo video out of it. So, you know, when people ask you who will fix the roads in the absence of the government, you can just say it was, you know, Domino's would.
Well, and I'd like to point out that none of us knew the answer would be Domino's prior to Domino's actually doing this thing. Like everybody, well, the free market will somehow fill in, and like it
turns
did
out they did,
and we didn't know.
Yeah, anyway, what else, Sam? What were you calling about tonight?
Well, I fixed the one in front of my house myself, so
excellent.
I guess if I order a pizza, they would have did it, so that would have been better, I guess.
Well, that's good that you did it yourself, because you know, that might have been illegal, and I want to say kudos to doing civil disobedience road work. That's awesome.
Yeah, there was some guy, remember he planted a Christmas tree in the pothole, and then I'm thinking if somebody hits the Christmas tree, did you hear that one? The guy planted a Christmas tree in the pothole.
No, that's funny.
People wouldn't fall into it.
That's
but
fantastic.
Then if they hit that and then flew off and hit the telephone pole, they would have killed themselves, that kind of thing. So the other thing is, I have a little insight on the, it's kind of, you already covered it, but about how much politicians make, like, and where's the money come from?
Okay.
I've actually had Joe Biden in my house. It's actually my childhood house. My mom was a poll worker, and she was the boss of the poll workers.
God, he didn't touch you, did he?
He didn't sniff you, did he?
No, and I'm trying to think back. I may have made one of them metal walls when he sniffed my hair, and I blocked it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be some childhood trauma going on there.
But when he came over to our house, it was like I thought Jesus was coming. My mom was cleaning for like 2 days and all that. My dad says, if you talk, I'm going to hit you with the belt, all that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, so his wife, and it's just, I wanted to try and give an ambiance or a message of the persona of those people. But he drove himself. He didn't have a motorcade. He came to my house. And he, you know, whatever, did his thing. But I fixed his wife's copier. She owned a, you can fact check it, Blue Hen Promotion. So I'm the copy man, Sam the copy man. So whatever, I fixed her copier. She still owes me $69, by the way, if you guys got any pool.
Cheapskate.
That's been, yes, the Statue of Limitations. Wow. Now that they're rich, they should pay me. Mm-hmm. But when she would speak, she'd go, why doesn't this do this or that? And people, there was four girls that worked there, and they would actually like cower and go under their desk. And I'm like, what makes them any different than us? But they really, you know, S500 Mercedes in the parking lot. And it's just funny, the power. So my question to you was, like when you said your elected officials only made $100 a year.
Yeah.
But don't forget, in 1812, you could buy a house, a goat, and a horse, and a plow with $100. So
yeah, but it's still $100 in New Hampshire, whereas in other places, it's like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000. So yeah, it's and all these guys, by the way, in the other states, they have staffs usually, like, you know, assistants and secretaries, and
they have like,
you know,
mansions.
Yeah, gatekeepers. And in New Hampshire, they actually just have a locker. They don't actually have like a room where the secretary, there's one secretary that forwards calls to, you know, the different extensions for the reps.
Coming to you live from the representative's locker.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the senators do have they actually do have, like, shared offices, from what I understand. So there's only 24 senators in New Hampshire. There's 400 reps. So the senators do have a few secretaries that sort of split duties between them. But even still, they don't have, like, dedicated staffs for each senator. So it's a totally different kind of situation than what you're used to. In fact, you can even, in New Hampshire, you can even look up the phone number for most of the state representatives, and you'll usually get, like, their home or cell phone number. So I can't tell you how many times I've called, like, you know, one of those things, call your representative and tell him to vote yes for marijuana decrim or whatever, right? And I've actually called, and, like, some little kid will answer the phone, and I'm like, hey, can you put your mom on the line? And they're actually calling, you're calling their house. So you can't do that in most places.
So my question was, okay, so Lunchbox Joe used to drive to my mom's house. Yeah. He drove himself. He didn't have a motorcade or Air Force mm-hmm. Two or whatever, whatever. Now, I understand if Hillary gives a talk at Citibank or whatever, makes $250,000 for 20 minutes, or you know all the stories yeah. about that. But how does he have his one house? It costs more than my whole neighborhood. I live in a kind of nice neighborhood, but mm-hmm. where does that come from if you're not, you get what I'm saying?
I can understand. God. I mean, he's been in politics for 47 years or something like that. I mean, this guy has connections. He gets his pockets lined just like all the other politicians and the Republicans and Democrats. They got all their buddies, like you said, Citibank and Shell Oil and all these other mega corporations, Facebook. All of them have their lobbyists. They all pay them off in one way or another, and they get all kinds of special favors in return. It's the same old story. Biden's no different. He's just the current selection for president. That's all. He's nuts.
But how come, I'm going to bust a big word here, how come the emoluments clause doesn't kick in so that George Washington didn't go, ooh, you know, if you give me $100, I'll make sure that you get that piece of land next to you. What about the, how come that never comes? He's got three houses, dude. He's worth more than, like, half the people listen to your show today, basically.
Well, I mean,
where did that come from?
I suspect he can't say he's going to do certain things for the money that these companies give him, but, you know, you put enough money into his bank account and he'll take your suggestions real seriously.
I'd also like to point out that people should stop treating politicians like celebrities. They're servants. Treat them as such.
Yeah. Oh, they're not. I mean, that's a nice idea, Captain, but we all know they're not. They're not there to serve you. They're there to serve themselves.
You should still treat them as such.
Yeah, treat them like dirt. 855, you know, treat your servants well. Your politicians like dirt. Kick those people to the curb. We don't need them. Hour number three is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom at a discount. Go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. We've got a chat server. It is decentralized, as in it's not centralized in mega corporations. I guess it's still centralized in that there's a server somewhere, but it's under our control. And it's federated, so you can actually join it from other Matrix servers. So it's kind of like an open structure. It's pretty cool. You can go and learn more about it at chat.lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
We're going to get into your phone calls and thoughts. We got more of those. And then coming up, we got the world premiere of the latest from the Kickass Parody Project. First song in a year and a half? Two years?
Probably more than that, yeah. First song since I've been a resident.
New Hampshire.
Since I've been existing in the geographic area known as New Hampshire.
And it's appropriately for what's going on in the world today. It's called Wear the Face Diaper. And, it's not actually serious. It's parody, so we'll get into that.
It's funny. You'll like it.
And we'll play that here in a little bit. But first, we're going to your phone calls and thoughts. Let's talk to Joe. He's in Ormond Beach, Florida. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Joe in Ormond Beach, going once. Joe in Ormond Beach, going twice. We'll put Joe back on hold, give him a second try here in a little bit. Sometimes bad cells, you never know what's going on. Different Joe. This one is calling from Maples, Florida. listening on, I'm not sure where the hell Maples, Florida is, Joe. Is it?
No, it's not Maples, brother. It's Naples.
Naples. Yeah, I know where that is.
I listen to you guys all the time, and you really enlighten me a lot. But I was a little bit aggravated when you were talking about the police, you know.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the, hey, how many times do you go in and you look at dockets and the arraignments and...
Yeah, I've watched him.
Some guy's busted for smoking a joint, or he's got an open container. But you know, you got to realize sometimes we put a lot of pressure on the police. But how many times have you done that in Miami, Florida? Gone in and look at the dockets and the arraignments.
Well, I've never lived in Miami, so no times.
So, or Baltimore, Maryland.
But I know they work the same way everywhere, dude. They are constantly arresting peaceful people for victimless crimes.
You call them peaceful. Okay,
if you're just walking down the street with a beer, by definition, that is a peaceful act.
Yeah, and what are you going to do if they walk down with the beer and they walk into your yard, into your house, and they start getting a little bit aggravated?
Well, that would be a crime.
Well, that would be a crime.
Yeah.
So they come, they arrest them. They go in, right. They got an open container. You say, hey, look, he's got an open container. I don't want to push the buttons, right?
Yeah, but
they still got to go in front of the court.
But him coming into your yard and your house without your permission is already a crime.
That's
trespass.
It doesn't
need to be another crime of open container.
Look, even with an open container walking down the street, like where I live in Naples, Florida, you have to not break the law.
Have you ever been to Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
In New Orleans? And you know how everybody just walks around with open containers during the whole entire thing?
They do that in
Vegas,
too.
It's a completely peaceful thing.
That's a different situation, though.
It's only a different situation because the city council didn't pass a stupid open container ordinance.
Right.
That's right. There's different laws for different.
The laws are crap, dude. Don't you think bad laws should be disobeyed by good people?
Yeah, we all make mistakes.
Oh, wait a minute. You did hear what you just said to me, right? You said, yes, good people should disobey bad laws.
Good people will disobey bad laws in your estimation, but the laws are in order with the communities.
No, they're not.
Those laws
are that's a lie.
By the people.
Tell me, how many laws were repealed off the books in the last 10 years?
None.
Why is that?
Apparently, we don't have the right politicians.
When are you going to have the right politicians?
Yeah, when are they going to come? Because guess what? They keep getting added to something like 200,000 a year, I believe.
Because most people I know don't want to be messed with if they got a beer and they're walking down the street. They don't want that law to exist.
I can appreciate that, but it's still a law. So we can't just talk about changing it, you and me, by walking down the street and say, hey, dude, I think it's cool. It's all good with me.
Why shouldn't we?
It's about the laws.
Screw the law. Why shouldn't we ignore that law?
Wait. No, don't conflate it. You're bad-mouthing the police for enforcing the law.
Yeah. I'm bad-mouthing them for enforcing bad laws in the same way that I would have bad-mouthed them for picking up escaped slaves and taking them back to their master. Do you think they should have done that, too? That was the law.
Let me know when I can talk.
You've been talking this whole time. I had a question for you. Do you think the police in the 1800s should have taken escaped slaves? That doesn't matter. The point still
matters.
No. The question is, if you had existed, if you, Joe, had been alive back then in the 1800s, and the law was that if an escaped slave escapes, the cops grab him and they take him back to Massa, would you have supported them doing that?
Again, you're deflecting.
No, you're just refusing to answer the question.
No, you're deflecting. You want to talk about something in the 1800s. This is 2020, and we have laws.
They had laws then.
There's too much deflection going on in the Democratic and the Republican and even the Libertarian.
What are you saying I'm deflecting? Are you asking a question that you feel I haven't answered?
Yeah.
What?
You want to say that the police departments in many municipalities are not doing what they're supposed to do or doing what you think is right, when in fact I'm trying to say to you, no, they're just inflecting the law.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't a question.
I want to say, hey, Joe, just because you live in Naples, Florida, and you've got laws
what about 1800 or 1900? No, this is 2020, and that's the problem we're having in society.
Okay. There you have not asked a question. I asked you if you felt like I was deflecting some sort of question. You just rambled on, and you didn't ask a question.
I let you speak. If you want to speak, I'll hold. Go ahead.
No, no, I don't want to speak. I asked you a question. You don't want to answer the question. You don't want to have a conversation because you don't want to admit. You're saying you support all the laws? Do you support all the laws, Joe?
No.
Which ones don't you support?
I don't support a lot of laws.
Pick one.
What laws?
Pick one.
I don't support is irrelevant.
No, no, it's entirely relevant. Pick one law. Pick one. Tell me, what's one of them?
Want me to talk?
I'm asking. I don't want you to talk. I want you to answer my question. What's one of the laws that you don't support?
I don't support that someone smoking a marijuana joint is illegal.
Okay,
why
great.
Is that any business of yours? What
so
they
we agree.
Do peacefully?
No, but we agree. He doesn't support those laws.
Oh, he doesn't. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
We agree. We agree on that. Okay.
I agree on that, too.
Don't you think that the police...
You're missing the point of my call.
Right. Well, thank you for the call, Joe. You can't have a conversation with me. I'm glad you finally answered that question. But if you think that the law is bad, then why should the police be enforcing bad laws?
I just want to correct myself. It's a rate of 40,000. That's 40,000 new laws on the books every single year.
Mm-hmm. And, nationwide?
And none of them are getting repealed. And no. If there are any that are getting repealed or whatever, it's a very tiny amount.
Yeah.
Because you never hear about that happening. There is no mechanism for ancient laws, for laws that no longer pertain because of, technological advancements.
Well, there could be. I mean, there could be a mechanism.
No, but there isn't because there's no money in doing that for anybody.
Yeah. So there's a ton of bad laws out there. And thank you, Joe, for your call here tonight. The problem, you know, with folks like Joe is... they value this whole idea of law and order even at the same time as being able to admit some of the laws are bad. But yet, even though he knows some of the laws are bad, he still calls for them all to be enforced blindly. Just go ahead and enforce all these bad laws because they're the law, and if you don't like it, then the politicians need to change. But the politicians haven't changed. It's taken decades for finally somebody to actually decriminalize and legalize marijuana. They thought it was going to happen in the 1970s, and it finally started happening within the last decade. It took four more decades past when it should have happened, which was, you know, back when my parents were teenagers.
A couple of generations.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Politicians are not leaders. They are followers.
No, they are not.
They're losers, and you can't expect them to do anything right. So why shouldn't we expect the police to do the right thing? You know what? If the cops actually, if they actually use their compassion and they use their humanity and a bad law got passed, all the cops would have to do would be like, this is a bad law.
I didn't see that.
We're not going to enforce it. Oh, I did see it. I'm not going to enforce it. It's not my job to do that. I'm going to go after murderers. Right. I'm going to go after rapists. I'm going to go after arsonists. I'm going to go after property crimes. But I'm not going to mess with these kids with an open container or whatever. It is Free Talk Live, live Saturday show. You dial toll free. Take control of the airwaves. Our number, 855-450-FREE. Like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Hand Cash, Bitcoin.com, or Dash Wallet, your experience should be smooth, though some wallets aren't ready for this impressive new technology. Unfortunately, if you're using Coinomi or Exodus, RelayX, or Bread Wallet, it's not going to work at all. So what you can do is, well, you can either switch to those other wallets, or you can go to anypayinc.com/upgrade and learn more about why some wallets just don't work at all with this new payments technology, and learn how to reach directly out to the programmers of those wallets and let them know, if you're a user of them, why you want this new tech to work with their wallet. And that way, if enough people actually reach out and contact Coinomi and Exodus and the other ones, then maybe they'll actually get on board and upgrade their technology to be compatible. Because that would be great. Because, you know, crypto is great to hold on to and watch, but it's really fun to actually get out there and use it.
It really is. And I still am a little flabbergasted that Keene, New Hampshire is one of the places, if not the only place, it's sort of a crypto mecca in that respect.
Keene is king.
Where you can spend. You can spend it like a bunch of places.
I did it today.
It's pretty
I bought my sandwich today. Actually, I bought two things. I went to Taco Biondo in Hillsboro, grabbed a burrito on the way back from Concord, threw it in the fridge.
Nice.
And then I went to Little Zoe's and grabbed a big old sandwich. And Ate that for breakfast, so nice. It was good. AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. Help us help the market. Because that's the challenge, is markets are decentralized, or, you know, the crypto market is decentralized, which means whenever there's something new, you got to persuade people. You know, it's not like somebody's on the top of the heap cracking a whip and saying you have to do this to these wallet companies.
That's true.
They've got to respond to consumer demand. So create that demand by going to anypayinc.com/upgrade. We're going to try Joe in Ormond Beach, Florida. We had some technical difficulties before. Or we're told he's back. Joe, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What's on your mind tonight, Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. I was sitting in my truck before. That's probably why you couldn't hear me.
We got you. Go ahead.
All right. Good. Good deal. Well, I had a question and some comments I wanted to make.
Yes, sir.
Where would we be without the police? And what was my other question?
Well, so hold on. Before you go on with whatever the next question is, let's start with that one. Captain, do you want to field this question?
Well, I would say, where are we with the police? To answer that question, because with the police, you know, we've all seen the reports of, well, all of the things that police do as an organization. So without the police, I believe that the market would fill the gap, that there would be private security companies that,
we have those.
That you could subscribe to and in many different ways, shapes, and forms, depending on your budget and your needs, et cetera, and so on. That, guess what? If they did a bad job, you could fire them and go with some other company. Right. With the police, you can't do that.
Okay. I can accept that, but okay. I guess what I was thinking was it would be like the Wild West, gunfights in the street without the police. So they're kind of a necessary evil, I might say.
You know, they say that the Wild West wasn't really that wild, that it actually was. That's like a sort of a Hollywood mythology. Yeah. In regards to that,
look, here in New Hampshire, where everybody can open carry and even concealed carry without having to jump through any hoops and sign any papers or pay any licensing fees, it's probably one of the most well-armed states in the United States, in my estimation.
And there aren't that many cops around.
And there really aren't. And, well, guess what? Most actions between people, most interactions are peaceful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. In fact, some of the towns here in New Hampshire have actually abolished their police department. So the town to the west of here, Westmoreland, New Hampshire, which is just west of Keene, where we live, that town, I don't know, like most of a decade ago, completely got rid of the police. They don't have a town cop anymore. I think they had like a 1.5 cops, like one full-time and one part-time guy. They got rid of them both. So now if you need police services, you can call the sheriff's department or the state police. And, you know, there are still some cops somewhere in the region, but they're not right there.
Right.
And you know what? There's not a problem with a bunch of house robberies or whatever, because if you start breaking into houses in Westmoreland, you're probably not going to get through three of them before somebody blasts you to death. So a lot of these problems will take care of themselves good people.
And I want to point
arms.
Out with that scenario, too, that what you get in a community is you get neighbors looking out for each other more so than they do today.
Right, because they rely on the government.
When I was a kid, it was like that, yeah.
Well, and also, there's so many people who've called the cops and they don't ever show up, or they show up too late, and then, of course, you can't sue them because they're not actually contracted to do anything. Like, they may help.
You gotta get them out of the coffee shop first.
Yeah, exactly. Look, now, that's not to say that some cops wouldn't show up. I think some of them would. I think some of them would make their best effort. But how many times have we seen the stories of, like, what was it, Parkland, Florida, where the school shooting was going on, and that some cop was like cowering outside, wouldn't do anything about it.
The problem isn't necessarily the people who are joining the police force to be policemen and policewomen or whatever, right? The problem is the organization itself, right? Because what it does is it forces what might be otherwise good people to enforce bad laws.
Joe, I know you had more you wanted to say. I got to get some of these other calls on. Call us any other night, though. We're always happy to talk. We're here 7 nights a week, so feel free. Let's bring Ray in Daytona. He's listening on Twitch at twitch.lrn.fm. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Hey, Ray.
All right. So I kind of just have like a couple quick pointer or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
The guy that called in a couple things ago talking about drunk people wandering into houses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just alcohol. Like, we're not rabid bears breaking into, like, You know, drunk people aren't rabid bears breaking into cabins in the mountains.
Why,
you know
I can't, I can't tell you how many times I've been drinking a beer in my house and wandered outside and down the street suddenly and into somebody else's yard and then into their house.
But, I mean, if a drunk guy does wander into my house and pees in the corner, I mean, I'm not going to be happy about that.
Right, but it's not like every person, like, think of how many people you see out at Olive Garden or whatever, having a beer, having a cocktail at dinner.
I mean, I kind of give the guy a break because...
Are they going in, breaking into houses right now,
really? Right, right. I kind of give that caller a break because he is trying to process what we're saying, and his brain is telling him these things. And so what usually happens when the brain is trying to process these things is they start going, you start getting these, what I call, I'm trying to think of the right term, these... You know, but what about this very specific and unique circumstance that will never happen?
Yeah,
right?
Or very rarely. I did actually have a drunk guy come into the studio once upon a time. And it was, well, and it was because...
Hey, I'm right here, dude, okay? Jesus, man.
It was, it was actually Stephanie, former co-host here. She left the front door unlocked. And this was before we had like an automated locking system or whatever. So she left the front door unlocked. And this drunk young guy who knew, you know, oh, the Free Staters or whatever lived there, and it was probably like 3 a.m. or something like that. He comes in, stumbles into the studio, found a box of wine in the in the kitchen, managed to he was so drunk he slung some of the wine around, so it was a little messy when I found him the next morning. But I woke up the next morning and I thought I heard something downstairs, and I'm like, what's going on? Somebody here? And I came out of my the bedroom. I looked down and there's this guy down there, and I'm like, I said, can I help you? And it turns out, you know, he was just a drunk guy. He wasn't a threat or anything like that. He just wanted to come into the Free Staters studio and hang out. He was like watching YouTube videos for 2 hours down here. Hey, thanks, nice. Ray, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, so we got along fine. And
hilarious.
He's a bit of a mess, but he kind of ended up getting arrested for some other things later on. But he just had some wine and chilled out in the studio.
Yeah.
Wasn't the worst thing in the world. All right, more coming up. Thanks, Ray, for the call. I know if you had more, call us tomorrow, because we got to get some of these other calls on the line. You can bring up what you want. Plus, we got to still premiere your song, Captain Kick.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III. From some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror, Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live, the toll-free number here. If you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. Although I'll tell you right now, phone lines are loaded up. A lot of people have opinions they want to share, and we got time for you. Plus, still to come, the world premiere of the new song by the Kick-Ass Parody Project called Wear the Face Diaper. Ian and Captain Kick-Ass in the studio with you.
That's right.
So also want to make sure you know about ForkFest 2021. That's right. We're already planning for this thing. And you should be as well because, you know, there's probably not going to be much else you can do. I mean, if this COVID crackdown stuff continues to get worse and doesn't seem like it's going to be letting up anytime soon, you might as well just go ahead and count out any kind of fun or concerts or anything at all in 2021.
I don't like to say I told you so, but...
No, this is not. I take no pleasure in any of this, but I do take pleasure in promoting ForkFest because it was a very fun event, a good time for all.
It's going to be a good event again this time.
I agree. It may be even better. You can mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th of 2021. In fact, you should mark your calendar. Go and attend with us at ForkFest. It's at Rogers Campground, the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Rogers Campground is the largest campground in all of New Hampshire. It's also probably the prettiest. I've never been to too many campgrounds up here, but this is an amazing location. The view
is fantastic.
Amazing. I mean, if you were to just go alone, it would be nice to be at Rogers Campground without hundreds of liberty-minded folks around. But you will also be surrounded by people that actually care about freedom. And so don't miss it. ForkFest.party. You can go to that website. It is a decentralized camping festival. That means there's no one in charge. It means there's no ticket cost. That means that you have to decide what to do. Maybe you just want to go hang out, you know, stoke a campfire or whatever. You can do all that. Or you can create a thing for other people to do. So if you want to put on a show, of some sort. Captain, you put on a musical show this last year, a rock concert.
I did. Hope to do it again.
And there was a poker table every night in one of the party tents. There was multiple party tents. It was a great time.
Oh, some fantastic food.
People cooking.
Oh, my gosh.
You could buy food for cryptocurrency and gold backs, and it was really a lot of fun. Forkfest.party. Go learn more about it. As we go to more of your calls and thoughts, first up, he's Charlie in Alamogordo, New Mexico, listening to KINN. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, guys, it's me again. I talked to you before.
Welcome back. What's on your mind?
Hey, that pork fest sounds really great, man. I can't wait to go.
Cool.
But, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, like you were talking about the officers and stuff like that just now.
Yeah.
A friend of mine at Final Touch Car Wash, he owns it, and I work for him. And I went up one day, and it was broken into through the car wash. They tore up the change machine that's inside for people that have to get change machine on the outside for the car wash, right?
That's sad.
So I called the officers for him. He just told me to call to get a report. Officer said, okay, he would. And he would come down when he had a chance because he was kind of busy chasing something. And he never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss finally called them back and asked, hey, how come you never came over to get a report so I could file my insurance policy? Because someone broke in and, you know, really messed up a lot of machinery.
Right, and you have to have that report in order to file with the insurance.
10-4 on that one. Yes, sir. Yeah, you have to, you know, and they never did. They said they would mail him one, and they haven't done that either.
Wow.
They're too busy doing that.
And how long ago was this?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks.
Okay. They stole $1,600, and they broke the machine from behind. They built a steel door, a bent steel door.
Wow.
And, so
they really wanted some crack.
Well, I'm glad no one was in there when I showed up.
Yeah. That's scary.
I'd have to clean out the body myself because that's not right.
So in your case, when seconds count, police are only several weeks away.
No, it's that. If they remember, because he called, he said, the dispatcher said that he never even filled out a report about it to even mail him one.
Yeah, and what can you really do? I mean, it's not like you can just all of a sudden stop paying taxes because then those same cops, they will show up then. You want the cops to show up? Try not paying the property tax bill on that business and then give them a couple years and, they're going to show up because at some point they'll tax sale the property, turn it over to the city, and then the city then sells it at a tax sale and some new owner comes in and he's like, well, you're on my property. Get out. And then the cops show up and they evict you.
Well, when he finally called back, they said the reason why they wouldn't go, even though they said they were, is because of the virus.
Oh, God.
So, they could pull people over for a speeding ticket.
Right. Due to COVID, we're no longer investigating any crimes involving property destruction.
Theft.
Well, you know what? That's because they don't want a contract with you. We don't live in the right neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it doesn't matter. And all you can do is complain about it. There's nothing else that you can actually do. You can't withhold your money. And this goes back to the point you were making, Captain. The guy who called earlier, well, what if we didn't have the police? You said we would have competing agencies in the marketplace who want to earn your business. And if they don't respond in the contracted amount of time, because it would be a contract, right?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, okay, well, I need the highest level of service, so I'm willing to pay the highest tier prices. Okay, I can wait a little bit. You know, I'll take the middle tier or whatever, right? You'd have different levels.
It's like when I called into you guys a couple weeks ago, an officer gave me a ticket at the Border Patrol as I was going through when he was standing right next to the officer, and he gave me a ticket for having tinted windows.
Wow.
I can't believe that.
Wow.
I'm going to beat that. I go to court on that.
You're going to challenge it? Good.
Good luck, man.
Good. That's what it takes. That's what people need to do. And Charlie, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, thanks for sharing your story.
Standing up, man.
Yeah, that's what it takes. You know, we started the show out with the video of these people yelling at these cops to get out of the gym in Buffalo, New York. And that's what it took. They went out. They left. We don't want your services here, officer. Go away. You're not helping.
Yeah.
You're here working for the state. You're not working for us. You're not protecting or serving us.
We will not comply. We will not comply.
They didn't have to shoot the cops. They didn't have to push them out. They didn't have to get violent. They just spoke how they felt about this, and they told them to go, and they did. That's what needs to happen. And the people that do end up getting BS tickets, like our caller there in Charlie, thank you for the call, by the way, if you say not guilty, demand the trial date, you'll be surprised how many of them will drop the tickets.
Well, something else that just popped into my mind is I brought this up when we had some people visiting here recently to see if New Hampshire was right for them to move to as part of the migration here, freedom-loving people.
Yep.
And apparently I said something, and I saw a couple of those people the next day, and they were like, I was thinking about something you said. And the thing that I said was this. Society recently, the United States at least, went through this whole bit about bullying.
Yeah.
Right? You remember when bullying was big in the news and you were teaching kids how to not, you know, how to avoid bullies and like get through bullies and stand up to bullies and all that kind of stuff. And I don't remember one time. In fact, I remember seeing government agents handing out pamphlets to school kids regarding bullying, but nobody ever connected the dots to say that government is the largest bully on the face of the planet and that police officers are bullies for the politicians.
That's what they do.
That's their entire job description is being a bully for the laws that are written by the politicians.
Yep.
But nobody seemed to have put those things together. And so apparently this made an impression on these people. So I wanted to mention it here because it just popped into my head that police are bullies by definition.
Yep. And every now and then they do the right thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time...
Every now and again, a bully is going to throw a kid a half a sandwich or something. That doesn't make him not a bully.
Let's go to Ted. He's in Salina, Kansas, listening to KINA. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes. Yeah, I love the show.
Thanks.
I had an experience getting pulled over in Wichita several years ago. And when I came to the court, I spoke with the judge, and he said, the ticket is $125. And he said, I can charge you up to $500. I said, oh, really? I said, I'd like to think it over. And then I told the DA that I want a trial.
Good.
And I sat down, and the DA came over to the row in front of me with another man. And she says to him, she goes, sir, we're dismissing your case.
Nice.
And then she came over to me, and she said, sir, we're dismissing your case. The officer isn't showing up.
All right.
I said, oh, that's great, but if I agreed to pay the ticket, they never would have told me the officer wasn't.
That's right.
Up. Yeah, they go ahead.
In that lying, they're corrupt. They always because I've been on trial, and I have experience, and the DA will lie to win.
Absolutely. Not only will the DA lie, but the cops are going to lie as well. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. People don't understand it. They believe the cops are these paragons of virtue out there, and they're so honest, and I'm sorry. Anybody that pays attention, anybody that's been inside the system like you have, you know the truth. Ted, thanks for sharing your story with us tonight. And that's what it takes. You have to be willing to stand up to these people and demand your trial. Then get the evidence, because then they have to show you discovery. They got to show you whatever they got against you. And that's when they're going to start trying to make a deal.
Yep.
And then don't take the deal either, I would recommend. I would recommend that you hold out, go all the way through the trial, be willing to take whatever the consequences are, and they might just... Yeah! Yep, it's Free Talk Live.
Indeed.
Moments remain here. Maybe we have enough time for you. It's Ian and Captain Kickass in the studio tonight. Now, we're going to premiere this audio before we go any further. I don't want to run out of time and, you know, not deliver on the promise for the world. I mean, if we're going to do a world premiere, we got to take it seriously, right?
Here we go.
The Kickass Parody Project. Folks can actually go and listen to this anytime you want to. Just go to...
LordKickass.com.
And that'll take you to your Bandcamp page, I believe.
Yeah, it redirects directly to the Bandcamp page, as well as LCaptainKickass.com, my previous web URL.
I like LordKickass.
LordKickass is way easier to remember, so that's...
Shorter, too.
Yeah.
You always want the shorter web URL if you can get it. So LordKickass.com, that's where you can get not only this song we're about to play for you, but what would you say, a dozen... Or some other tracks?
I think I have, I don't know, there's eight or nine or something up
there. You've been doing this for a long time.
I've taken some down over the course of time, some that were of a less quality and that kind of a thing. But yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff up there.
So this is it. Wear the face diaper.
Wear the face diaper. It's the work of madmen and we're on the hook. The global populace apparently mistook. Based on mandates full of fear. It's an inside job and we don't want to have to wear the face diaper. Wear the face diaper! It's a
dirty cloth worn by dirty men, and this freedom lover doesn't give a damn. Dystopian with the threat of jail, it's an inside job, and we don't wanna have to wear the face diaper. Wear the face diaper.
Wear the face diaper.
Wear the face diaper.
On a million faces, give or take a few, onto millions more in just a week or two. You can customize if you don't like the style. You can change it round, but you're still forced to have to wear the face diaper. Wear the face diaper! And if you don't like it, you don't have no rights. They can imprison you far more than overnight. You can't escape, it's over there and here. Authority is fake, and I don't wanna have to wear the face diaper. Wear the face diaper!
Wear the face diaper!
Wear the face diaper!
Wear the face diaper!
The face diaper.
Burn the face diaper.
Burn the face diaper.
Screw the face diaper.
Kill the face diaper.
Diaper.
And people everywhere are pressing stop on their cassette deck recorders now. No, that would have been the 1980s.
That's true.
But there you go, world premiere.
World premiere.
I don't think we've ever done a world premiere of an audio track like that here on Free Talk.
Well, I'm happy to break that cherry.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't think we have. So, congratulations, Captain. That was great.
Thanks.
Nicely done.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. So.
And go, like I said, can you download it or just listen to
you
it?
You can download it. It's a dollar.
Okay.
I don't ask for much. I'm not going to make any money off the thing. So it's a dollar. You can listen to it anytime you want. Just go to my URL or my Bandcamp page and hit the play button.
Nice.
And you can play it. I am planning to do some digital distribution so that it shows up on like Spotify and iTunes and all that kind of stuff. But that'll probably be another week or so. So if you want to get it, you know, LordKickass.com.
Check him out, LordKickass.com. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Jack is in Ocean Shores, Washington. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
Captain Kickass, I am laying in bed alone, nobody else in the house, with my diaper on my face.
Sounds hot. I'm just kidding.
Literally, it'll heat your face up.
Yeah.
No, I was a general manager for a construction company, and the owner stopped paying payroll. The owner knew a cop, you know, watched football every Sunday with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the payroll check started not coming through and I was fighting for my subcontractors and trying to get people paid, he sent five cops, Sheriff's Department, Vancouver, Washington, to my apartment, dragged me out of the house, threw me to the ground. I said I would have just came if you would have called. I was thrown in jail overnight.
For what?
For nothing. And I'm pro-Trump. I literally had a Trump flag. I'm a conservative. Pro blue, everything. And
pro blue. How did you feel about the back in the blue after this incident?
Not strong.
Yeah.
I found out it's a fraternity.
Uh-huh.
And it was all dismissed. My lawyer came to me when I was going to court and he brought me in the other room and said, "Oh, all the cops are on vacation. The case has been dismissed."
Well, hold on. What did they charge you with? I'm still not even sure. Like, why did your boss send a group of five armed cops to your house and have you arrested? What?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm missing the connection.
I was calling, leaving messages, non-threatening. I swear, non-threatening.
Oh, you wanted to get paid? You called your boss, being like, "Hey, where's my money?"
Oh.
Yeah, two or three times going down to the bank, going down to Bank of America, trying to cash my check.
And there's no money there.
In the shower.
So hold on, you had a check, but his bank account was dry.
Yeah, he was writing for everybody.
Okay, so he sent these cops down there. What do they charge you with? Threatening?
They charged me no charge. They had no charge. They had no warrant. As soon as I stepped out my door, because I thought it was a joke, they threw me to the ground right onto my eyeball.
Wow.
Sheriff's Department. And I'm like, I thought it was a joke. And
that's not funny.
And I spent the night in jail, went through that. They offered me a plea deal of 2 days in jail and a $1,000 fine or whatever it was. And I said, like you guys were saying earlier with the previous callers, I said, no, absolutely not. I did nothing wrong. I didn't threaten him in any way, by the way. I didn't even call him a shit.
LRN.FM.
Oh, you caught it. But man, so boss cutting checks with no money.
Just trying to get paid, man.
This guy's like, hey, man, when can I cash my check? It's like, oh, well, I'm just going to send some cops over. They're going to rough you up, charge you with some BS, and then they ultimately drop the charges. I hope he'll call back another time and tell, you know, the rest of the story. I hate having to drop people's calls for that stuff, but
yeah,
we have to.
Freaking FCC.
All right. So, yeah, and a surprise, guess what? All your back in the blue didn't help you one bit. And if you had one of those stickers on the back of your car, you know, I support the police. You know, I've seen those stickers before.
Yes.
Right? I support the, what do they call it?
The fraternal thin blue order. Line or, yeah, all that kind of thing.
You thought that was going to help you out? No, that doesn't help you out either. And it doesn't matter what you say to them. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I like you guys. As they're throwing you to the pavement. They're doing the bidding of somebody else, not you. They're not there to serve you. So just a bunch of terrifying, corrupt group of people. And again, you know,
it's a gang.
It's
a gang.
What it is.
They operate either as a street gang or a mafia.
Yeah.
A lot of both, depending on the situation that you're in. You know, if you actually study street gangs and the mafia and how they interact with their, we'll say, customers, and then compare that to police and, you know, any of these bureaucratic government agencies in general, they all act in the same way.
Now, some would argue, Captain, that the mafia is actually more respectful of women and children.
I have actually made that argument as well. And if you pay the mafia protection money, they might actually protect you from someone other than the mafia.
Could be. Let's go to Robert. He's in Charleston, South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Robert.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to say that I know how that works if you don't have police. You might survive for a short time if you live in a community that really doesn't have anything of particular value. But let's say you lived in Las Vegas and they dropped the police. Do you realize what would happen? You'd have the organized crime zeroing in on the most valuable casinos.
And the police are the organized crime, Robert.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Also, the casinos have private security. They don't need the cops. The casinos have plenty of security around. Thanks for the call. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. You're not going to rob a casino. There's a ton of security agents around. They're not going to need the cops. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, it's the David Olson Show with tonight's guest, Free Talk Live, and special musical guest, El Captain Kickass. And how do you like me now? Phone calls getting you arrested. So in 30 seconds or less. So you got the University of New Mexico called their private police force, having written up on four charges, been dealing with it for 4 years, tens of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money spent on this whole thing, and we're still fighting. We're not even halfway through. This is the state of New Mexico. As compared to the previous, a couple years prior to that, same deal. General counsel at the AOC, the Administration Office of Courts, didn't like me calling and asking for public information. Called the state police. State police called the chief of security at the government complex who happened to know me. Hi, Ted. And Ted he's one of the half a dozen New Mexico families that go way back. And Ted said, hey, the state police called me. Dave, what's up? They're saying you're calling, harassing them. And I told him the story.
I wish we had more time. We don't. See you tomorrow. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.